Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your quinoa exploring, basking in some winter sunshine. Can't stop playing Best Fiends on my phone, friend.
And I'm Bethany, your nauseated overthinking, just got a Charlie horse in my stomach, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
I have never read a mommy blog in my life.
What? Mommy blogs are the best.
I don't have children, and so I just, parenting blogs are not a part of my universe. And so I decided that because I'm taking the lifestyle topic this week, I would look at parenting blogs and see what lessons non-parents can learn from them. And you can learn a lot from parenting blogs.
My favorite, one of my favorite Instagram accounts is like Things Mommy Groups Says. And it's someone who's just like a part of all of these mommy groups across the country, and they take screenshots of all the absolute ridiculous shit that moms post in these groups about their children. It's one of my favorite things.
That's awesome. I found out a lot of really useful stuff. Turns out that like parents who need to travel with a bag that contains many pockets is just as useful for someone who doesn't have children. So I have tips for you, tips and tricks from parents for non-parents.
And I realized that my passwords to all of my important accounts online, they suck.
Are they like, let me in one?
Yes, exactly.
Exclamation point.
And so I found this book, The Hackproof Password System. Essentially, I learned techniques to memorize very long, complicated passwords. And I'm going to show everybody how like you need to protect yourself from hackers online.
And you said that you got this when you went to the Spy Museum, right?
I did. I picked this up in the gift shop at the Spy Museum.
I love a gift shop.
And I'm so excited. This is like the coolest thing. Also, if you've ever tried to memorize someone's license plate as they're driving away.
Yeah.
Like maybe it was a hit and run.
Yeah.
The techniques that I learned from this book are going to help people with that too.
Like mnemonic devices.
Exactly.
I love a mnemonic device.
I am in the best mood today.
You are so up. This is great. What's going on?
The air outside just feels like fresh.
Yeah.
Like it was giving me life. And you know that feeling when it's like 100 degrees outside and you're walking around outside and then you walk into a big department store and that AC hits you and it
that.
Like lifts you up and you start levitating because you're feeling like, you know, cold air from all directions. It was like that today walking to the studio, except that feeling of euphoria didn't stop.
It's great outside. It feels like the first day of spring, kind of, when winter really is going away.
And so I want everyone else to feel that way today. So I'm sharing this meme with you that I found on Instagram, and it's from a bulletin board in an elementary school class. And it says at the top, how to cheer up.
Okay.
Number one, whisper beep boop to yourself.
Beep boop.
Repeat until you're not sad.
That's smart. That's a good one.
Number two, plug your nose and say sneep snop.
Sneep stop.
Sneep stop. I just ruined my foundation. Well, now it's all.
Then plug your nose and say beep de boop in a really deep voice. Beep de boop. Then say bubbles in your angriest voice.
Bubbles. I like that one. That one's good.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Kathleen, I was going to ask you a question, and I don't remember what it was.
I'm looking for my show notes. I made some.
Oh, I have one topic written down for the show today, and that is, do we like the name Connell?
Yeah. You wrote it on a napkin in Sharpie.
I did. I'm like a tech creator. All of my greatest ideas are on napkins.
I'm listening to a book by Sally Rooney, I believe her name is. It's called Normal People. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for a pretty long time now. It was written in, I think, 2018.
Okay.
And I came in, and I was like telling Bethany about this great book. It takes place in Ireland. And then I said, and the main character's name is Connell.
Connell.
Do you like that name?
And I said, yes. And then I thought about it.
Hmm.
And then I said, I think I do.
C-O-N-N-E-L-L.
And you also were sure that you almost were sure that you liked it.
Almost liked it. And the only reason I take notice of names nowadays is because, like, maybe I'll have a baby eventually. And so I like to keep a list.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And my husband and I are constantly fighting over boy names. We can never find one that we agree on. So when I hear something sort of different, I'm like, yeah, should I put that on my baby name list?
Does he like the name Connell?
I haven't asked him yet.
Should we ask him?
You know what?
Is he at work right now?
He never picks up when I call. Yesterday, I thought he was dead.
He always picks up when I call.
I called him 10 times.
Kidding. You called him 10 times. Why'd you kill him? Why'd you call him? Why'd you kill your husband?
I called him 10 times in a row and he picks up. He's like, what?
Oh.
I was like, I thought you were dead.
Oh. Where was he that you thought he was dead?
He was at home. He was just feeding the cats. Pay attention
to me.
Where
were you?
I was in the car outside trying to find a parking spot.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, there's just so much that happens in your personal life that I don't understand.
What have you seen on Netflix lately that you like? And I only ask because Netflix announced that cool new feature.
I learned that you can turn off autoplay on their trailers.
Amazing.
But you have to do it from the desktop.
Did you watch Horse Girl yet?
No, you said to watch it with Dennis, and he just got home from LA. So we'll watch it.
He's been on a work
this
trip.
Weekend. So, Horse Girl is darkly nerdy.
Darkly nerdy.
Okay.
Allison Brie.
Yes.
Is an angel.
Okay. And she plays like kind of a strange horse girl.
Yeah, it is one of the weirdest / best things I've seen in a very long time.
Because you know when you say horse girl that everyone gets a very immediate vision of what that person looks like. We all knew a horse girl.
We did all know a horse girl. Though, later in life, in college, when I started to like really fall in love with like equestrian style boots, I was like, why didn't I ride horses in high school? And then I remember that my family was middle class.
Yeah. My sister rode horses a little bit, and I was always jealous of her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that you wanted to pursue?
Well, my older sister and I both did dance.
Okay.
And it just was like, we just did.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my younger sister was like, had no interest in dance, she did it for a year or two and just was not into it.
Yeah.
And so my parents were like, oh, well, what else do you want to do? So she like did golfing and she did, I don't know,
tennis?
Some type. I don't think she did tennis, but she definitely did like a bat based sport, like a softball.
Mm.
And then she did and then she did like horse riding.
A bat based sport.
Yeah.
If I could do it again, I would play tennis and golf so I could now like hang out with highbrow people and not feel intimidated all the time.
Fully. What do you do when you're about to become a lawyer and you know you have to just golf all the time?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you take lessons.
My old boss at the bank when I worked there had a full sleeve tattoo. And he had to always wear long sleeve shirts because he was going into law and other lawyers wouldn't respect him. So he had to learn how to golf.
Yeah.
And he knew that when he golfed, he had to always wear long sleeve shirts, even if it was super hot out.
Golfing is so expensive. So expensive. It's like the hobby for, yeah, it's the hobby for rich
it's
people.
It's tons of land that is being used just for grass.
So Netflix is doing this thing called Top 10 now, where there's going to be a new category when you log into like, you know, the Netflix interface, however you're like accessing it.
Yeah.
And it's the top 10 TV series and movies that are popular in your country.
Oh, but that's nice.
I'm not necessarily interested in what people in America are into. Like, I know it. I'm on the internet all the time.
You are American culture.
I want to know what like people in Spain are into. Yes, I am American.
You are. You are all of American pop culture.
Like, what country do you want to know what they're watching?
Transylvania.
Yeah.
Is that a country?
Do people in Transylvania have Netflix?
Let's look.
I don't know.
Netflix. Hold on. Let me Google this. Mm-hmm. Netflix in Transylvania. No, I don't want to watch Transylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Is Transylvania
it's that
a country or a city?
Not
I'm
sure.
An idiot.
I have no idea. Wouldn't be able to tell you.
It's real.
That's where Dracula lives. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. It's a region. So I'm not dumb.
Mm.
It's a region
okay. In
Romania. So I guess it's not a country.
So people in Romania definitely have Netflix.
I mean, you know, why not? The largest city?
Yeah.
There's a hyphen. Cluj-Napoca.
Okay. Sounds
it take will take us 11 hours and 35 minutes to get there.
On a plane.
Yes.
Not walking.
Via cart. Via horse cart. One more thing before we go.
Yeah.
Can we also bring back the phrase horse's ass?
Sure. Horse's ass.
It makes me giggle so hard.
Use it in a sentence.
That dude's being a horse's ass.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got it from, I was listening to the podcast Guide to the Unknown. I love them.
Yeah.
I just had lunch with Kristen. she's everything I hoped she would be and more, and now she is my best friend.
Your pod friends.
I love her. Her lipstick color choice, color of your laptop, Kathleen, a beautiful bright pink. I came in, I was instantly delighted. I think their podcast, they were talking about how in Home Alone and then Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Kevin uses the phrase horse's ass in each one, and I giggled so hard, and I think that we need to bring back the phrase horse's ass.
All right. I'm cool with that.
Okay. Should we play the voicemail?
Yes. Okay. We got this really funny voicemail from a taste bud, and I just like giggled so much when I was like listening to it. I want to share it with you.
Okay.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. I'm calling from the Philadelphia area, and I am a few episodes behind, but I am cracking up at a random comment that Kathleen made about how you don't have to take your car to the car wash because the rain will wash your car. Yes. And I have to tell you, I'm 33 years old, and I've thought this my whole life, but just recently my white car has been completely covered with black soot from parking under a tree. It was so bad that when I went to the car wash, they wouldn't let me through because they said that it wouldn't do anything and that if it did do something, that I would blame the car wash for putting nicks in my car when it was obviously that tree that did it. And that is very unfair.
Her car was so dirty that the car wash wouldn't wash her car.
That's insane.
She parked it under a tree.
That's how you know that you're too far gone. Like, can you imagine going to the dentist and the dentist just being like, no, man, your teeth are jacked.
Your teeth are jacked.
Nothing I can do.
Okay, hang on. There's more.
They actually even went as far as to have me hold up a sign that said, I'm the problem. And
what?
I thought it was funny until they snapped my picture. So then I was like, well, what are you going to do with that picture? It better not go on social media. This is embarrassing. And they said, oh, don't worry. We're not tech savvy. And I've never seen the picture. And I don't know what happened.
Why did you pose for the picture? You had to pose for the
They needed proof. They needed proof that the law.
That's amazing. Wait, I want to know which car wash this is.
But all that being said, lesson learned. Take your car to the car wash. I had to manually pressure wash my car for 25 minutes to get it clean enough just to go to the car wash. Anyway, very embarrassing.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You know what? I need to get my car washed like big time.
Apparently.
Because I have a white car now, but when...
Are you sure?
When my husband and I had a silver car, I don't think we washed our car the entire time we owned it.
Yeah, I don't think you need to if it's silver. Because I think all colors, when it comes down to dirt, turn like a gray silver, right? Like, you don't have red dust on your floor. It's usually like a gray silver based.
Oh, my car is really freaking dirty now. Ugh. Like, so, but that I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I am the problem. If you ever, do you remember what her name was?
She didn't tell us her name.
She just said
she was from Philly.
Philly, if you ever have access to that picture, please send it to us. I want to see it. Speaking of amazing listeners, I just want to shout out listener Amanda. I literally ran into her as I was coming to record here today.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
She is a taste bud. She is fantastic. She has the most amazing glowing skin. And so Amanda, shout out to you for being so damn nice.
Oh.
And
did you ask her what kind of serum she uses?
I didn't. I should have. We were both talking at each other.
Shame. Shame on you.
I know. Kathleen, what level of best fiends are you on right now?
I'm on level 240.
Kathleen!
What level are you on?
241.
Stop it.
Did this happen last time too where we were one apart?
Listen, gentle listener. Bethany and I are obsessed with this game on our phone called Best Fiends. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time that's also engaging your brain and, you know, breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, you have to check out Best Fiends.
And even if you don't want to pay attention to any of that and you just need something that is going to help distract your brain, Best Fiends. You can spend as much or as little time as you want in the game. You collect these little fiends and then you help them power up and then they help you win these different levels and you collect coins and keys, and you know I love a key.
Yes, I am so deliciously addicted to
it. Me too.
And when we partnered up with Best Fiends, they were like, hey, can you like just play until level 30? So, you know, like check out the game. I cannot stop playing.
No.
I recommend it to everybody. I saw somebody in the doctor's office yesterday playing it, like, and I was sitting next to him. I was like, hello, sir, is that Best Fiends?
Have you gotten Quincy yet? That's what I want to ask.
I love Quincy.
I love Quincy, and I also love Jean.
The characters are adorable. Listen, engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust us, over 100 million downloads and a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends is a must play.
And you can play it when you're traveling. You don't have to have the internet to play it. So you can do it on the plane, on the subway. You can do it in the bathroom, that one bathroom stall that doesn't get Wi-Fi. You can play it there.
You can get it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. It's a free download.
Totally. So download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. I'm a parent of two cats. Yeah. Like seven plants. And I know that people get really, I know that parents of children, of humans, get very upset when parents of other things call themselves parents.
I know.
But here we are, and that's where we are. So.
Do you call yourself a cat mom?
I don't call myself specifically a cat mom. I call myself a mother. I call them my children.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I definitely have said to my mom before, like, now I understand the love of a child. Mm-hmm. And also, I birthed this cat, blah, blah, blah. And I'm 90%, I'll rephrase that. I'm about 50%, I'm about 60% being sarcastic.
You know, I used to get so angry when people with pets would call themselves dog moms and cat moms or whatever. But sure enough,
yeah.
When I pick up my cat, I'm like, why is daddy being so grumpy?
I know. When it, Kathleen, you won't understand till it happens to you, and then it happens to you, and you understand the love of an animal.
I know. So I'm excited to see what you learned on all the mommy group websites.
So I went to a bunch of different parenting blogs and just culled the lessons that I can learn.
Okay.
And, like, travel mugs. They have great recommendations on travel mugs, for example, because, you know, you need to have 17 arms as a parent. Mm-hmm. Now, am I covering travel mugs? No. But this is a thing that they do, and it's great. All right. Let's talk about sleeping.
Okay.
It's important, according to rookiemoms.com/how to get a newborn to sleep, to establish a sleeping routine. Mm. Kathleen, this is important for you and me, too.
Okay.
The consistency that a routine brings gives comfort in knowing what's next.
Mm.
It's good for you, and you feel comfortable knowing that, you know, next comes food, and then, you know.
Next comes sleep.
Sleep.
Then poo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A good sleep routine should be as calming as possible, Kathleen. You could start by dimming the lights in your house. Also, turn the volume on the TV or radio down nice and low.
Oh, okay.
Soft lighting and sound set the mood for a calm evening.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a sound machine. Mm. Your baby had constant white noise while they were in your womb, Kathleen.
Yeah.
And so because of this, putting them to sleep in a quiet room might be scary. So, and you as an adult, you know, you remember being in the womb. It was great.
Yeah.
White noise is going to help you sleep, Kathleen. Okay?
You know, kids these days have so many gadgets.
Oh, I know.
When you and I were babies, like, your mom just tossed you in the bassinet and was like, sleep, baby.
My mom put me in the living room because now I can sleep in noise. Yeah. My nieces have a sleep sheep. We didn't have a sleep sheep.
What's a sleep sheep?
It's a stuffed sheep that has a white noise machine in it. So you hug it and it goes, which is apparently what babies love.
You know, apparently the white noise is like, is it my friend Megan who just had a baby? She's got one for her baby. And it's like, it works.
I hate white noise because I learned from the documentary White Noise starring Michael Keaton that ghosts come through white noise. And like, your dead wife will come through white noise and be like, he killed me.
Yes, the documentary starring Michael Keaton.
Yep.
What I like, I like white noise, but I don't trust white noise because I can't hear the murderer coming.
Exactly. That's the other problem.
That's the thing.
That baby's never going to hear the murderer coming. How can that baby defend itself?
I know.
All right. Throwing a party. My sources for this. MomBlogSociety.com, Parents.com, CoolMomPics.com.
Cool Mom.
/blog/category/kid/party. Okay, plan the menu and decor, Kathleen. So you want to nail down these details about 3 weeks before you throw your party.
Mm.
Purchase the decorations that aren't perishable, right? So wait until the day before to buy flowers, but like, you can get all the other things way ahead of time. Make or buy your place cards, and then consider serving miniature portions of food to make it easier for guests to manage, right?
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, and you must come up with a theme.
Pick a theme. Why do we stop having theme parties when we become adults? So mommy blogs and parenting blogs have badass ideas for theme parties, like a Stranger Things party. And they always have recipes for Stranger Things or whatever related food and decorations.
Stranger Things cupcakes.
Yes. And like, 8-year-olds shouldn't be the only ones who have like slime parties. We definitely need to have a slime party.
Let's Taco Bell one, right? For the first birthday.
Yeah.
Or Wonderland.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I have one rule in my house, and it's to party.
Or maybe your baby is a wild one.
And they pan over to the baby as a cigarette in its mouth.
The baby is dressed like Sandy at the end of Grease.
baby got sexy real fast. Okay. Prevent messes. Kathleen, at this party,
yeah.
If you can, hold the party outside. Hose that shit down afterwards.
Yes.
And
hold the party outside.
Yeah.
Make sure you rent a tent.
Totally get a tent.
In case it rains.
And hire a professional photographer. So similar to a new mom is going to want pictures of her baby shower.
Yeah.
You want pictures of you and your friends so that you don't have to worry about everyone like being drunk and taking slurry pictures.
Yeah.
Get a professional photographer for the event.
Your baby only turns one once. Your baby only turns two once. Your baby only turns three once.
You and your friends only get drunk on New Year's Eve once a year. Get a photographer.
When I was a kid, professional photographers, that was grandma. That was grandma with the camera.
I know.
And then grandma was never in any of the photos.
I know. My mom is never in any of the photos.
You know, when I go to people's parties, especially kid parties, I try my best to take a lot of pics and then send it to the parents. I think that's more valuable than anything you could do for a parent.
That's a very good point. All right, let's talk about feeling overworked.
Okay.
Okay. This is from the article, Working Moms Often Feel Like We Don't Even Have Time to Breathe by Dr. Christina Rose. She wrote this on scarymommy.com.
Well, I'm a working cat mom and I can relate.
I know. I felt last night, I was looking at Minerva. She wanted to play and I had to work. And I was like, girl, I'm so sorry, but I'm doing this to feed you.
Meow. I love you, meow.
I'm sorry. Dr. Christina Rose says, we are worthy of living without having to work all the time. We are worthy of rest. We are worthy of grief and grieving the time given to incessantly work. And we are worthy of joy. We are worthy to find joy in not working, in resting, in simply being.
Mm.
Don't forget, there is a culture that would have us die as laborers, as workers.
Yeah.
Our culture wants you to feel guilty for not working all the time.
You know, this is one of the topics that I'm most passionate about is moms who have to work, parents who have to work, and a medical system and a government system.
Government.
That doesn't support parents to help them in any which way.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It sucks. This is from napkinhoarder.com.
Napkin hoarder.
Because of the constant ability to connect, we are obviously bad at shutting down our devices. And she was talking about when she went to Newark Airport. Everything is on iPad there. Yeah. You can order food on iPad. You can order stuff from the gift shop on an iPad and they bring it to you. So her husband told her how his colleagues do a stand up every day. So at the beginning of the day, they meet up with each other in person to discuss tasks that have to be done. And then at the end of the day, they meet up in person to recap how the day went. And it is their time to look each other in the eye and actually have a human conversation. And I think that's great.
And it holds you accountable.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? That would be very cool if families did that.
I think that's great. I think that's what quote unquote family dinner in theory is about. But that becomes less and less feasible because everyone's so busy.
Did you sit down and have dinner with your family every day?
Yeah, but we watched Cheers reruns.
Yeah, the TV was on.
Yeah, but it's a good memory. Like, yeah. I wasn't mad about it.
I think we always had the news on.
Yeah.
If I ever have children, I'm going to try and eat dinner without the TV on, if that's even possible. Not that my husband and I do that now. We eat dinner sitting on the couch.
Same.
They're like, who eats at a table anymore?
But I also think it was different for us growing up because we didn't have screens everywhere else. Mm. Like, we didn't have phones. We didn't have tablets. And so, you know, watching TV at dinner wasn't just another situation where there was something in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, we were always talking because we didn't have phones anywhere else.
I understand that.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Listening, not fixing. This is great advice, not just for parents, but for anyone who is listening to someone talk about something they're going through. This is from the blog mybrownbaby.com. It's written by Deneen Milner. She said, basically, I have had to practice the listening, not fixing portion of parenting. She says that when her daughter talks to her about something that she's going through, Deneen has to not immediately swoop in and try to solve the problem. Because now her daughter is in her teens and is capable of making decisions for herself and doesn't want her mother to be saying, this is what you should do. So she has to actively just take in the information and support her instead of trying to always fix a problem. And I think we all do that.
I love this. Mm-hmm. I freaking love this.
Isn't that great?
Listening, not fixing.
Sometimes you just need someone to listen to you, not try to solve the problem.
Yeah, you don't always need someone to be Kerry Washington. What was her character's name? What was that show? Scandal. She's a fixer.
She's the fixer. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need a fixer. You just need to vent.
It's the age old, like, I don't want you to fix that. I just want you to listen.
Just listen.
All right. Setting boundaries. Mm. Kathleen, this is...
Setting boundaries with your baby. Baby, well, leave mommy alone.
So it's written from the perspective of a baby, but like this whole thing, you can use it in so many other situations too. So she's saying with her child, when you tell your child to do something or tell them to stop doing something, do you find yourself asking them to do it or to not do it over and over and over? For example, if you say, okay, I'm going to count to three, you're actually conditioning them to think that you aren't serious until you count to three. And this is so applicable to people in our daily lives. If you say there are going to be consequences and then there are not consequences, we are teaching people that we don't have any boundaries.
Yeah.
And so if someone at work is doing something awful and you say, I don't like it when you talk to me that way, you better mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're not going to respect you.
Yeah. Boundaries are one of life's most important self-defense techniques you need to develop.
Yep. It's hard. It's so hard. Let's talk about something lighter. Let's talk about traveling.
Traveling with a baby. Yuck.
Well,
I can't even walk down the street and hold a cup of coffee.
But again, these are tips for everyone, even if you don't have a baby.
Okay.
Okay. This is from momspark.net.
Momspark.net.
Yeah. Bring a clothespin and use it to keep your toothbrush off the dirty counter.
Oh.
Or use a Quip toothbrush, which we love.
That's a really actually fantastic trick.
Yes. Use an ice bucket bag for dirty clothes. Use a shower cap to cover dirty shoes before putting them back in your suitcase. Use a hard hard glasses case to put like your charging cables, your lipstick, your makeup brushes.
Love that.
Use saran wrap like Glad Press and Seal to pack necklaces. It will keep them from tangling.
I have a necklace that's been tangled for a whole year.
Oh, bring it in. I love untangling necklaces.
I will.
It's one of my favorite things to do. Pack three tops for every one bottom. So like if you have jeans, for example, you can match three different tops with that.
But what if you fart a lot and your pants collect the smell?
I don't.
Sorry. I don't want to derail you.
I don't want to talk about it. Use contact cases to hold your lotion and your toothpaste.
Yes.
It's super helpful.
Especially if you're gone for just one night.
Yes.
Like a little bit of foundation. Sometimes I'll put that in contact case too.
You don't need more than that.
Because you don't need to bring your whole bottle with you.
No. And use your shoes for storage. Don't forget, you can put like pill bottles and other stuff like inside your shoes.
Yeah.
That's extra space.
Mommy bloggers are so smart.
They know what they're doing.
So smart.
Lastly, this is from the blog MommyTalkShow.com. So it's a woman named Joyce Brewer, and she actually has like a whole television history behind her.
Okay.
She had her friends pull together the best advice that she had given them.
Okay.
And then she sort of put it together in a thing. So these are some of the best pieces of advice from Joyce Brewer. Number one, if you can count your black friends, you don't have enough black friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Says Joyce, which is true.
Get some diversity in your life.
She said, I live my life in such a way that I can't possibly count my white friends or my gay friends or my Jewish friends or my Muslim friends. She said, I surround myself with plenty of people who don't look like me, think like me, or believe what I believe. If you do the same, you'll be amazed at what you can learn and experience.
You know, yes.
Can you count the number of white friends you have, Kathleen?
No.
No. So. And I'm not saying you don't have. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I love this one. You're so much stronger than you know.
Hmm.
You will not have to learn it until you have no choice but to learn it.
Hmm.
But trust that you are so much stronger than you know. Here's another one.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my boobies.
Right on your boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I love this one. Build a bridge and get over it. She said, it's my get tough and keep it moving reminder. Don't we all need to hear that at some point? When the whining and complaining and excuse making gets to be too much, just say, build a bridge and get over it.
Build a bridge and get over it.
And lastly, she said, remember that your wise, strong friends need support too. Check on your strong friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Send a text. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, totally.
Hey,
the one that you assume
you?
Is always good and that you go to all the time. Make sure that they're doing okay too.
Build a bridge and get over it.
Burn that bridge down.
Burn it down.
And I'll put all those blogs and the links in the show notes, too.
You know, mommy blogs, they're
just like us.
There's something to it. There's something to it. Bethany, I'm helping my mom clean out some of the rooms in her house right now.
Yeah.
And I'm finding so many family heirloom moments.
Oh, wow.
Like photos and VHS tapes and all sorts of things that I'm like, what do I do with this? I don't want to throw it away, but I also don't know how to access this.
Right. Who has a VCR?
Not me.
That's why we love Legacy Box, and we've been a partner with them for a long time. Legacy Box is the best way to convert your old analog media to DVD, thumb drive, or even convenient digital downloads so you can easily share with other members of your family, and most importantly, so you can actually see it again.
Yeah. So what they do is they send you a big old box. You put in all of your family memories in there. You
can do audio tapes and reel-to-reel, photos, VHS. VHS.
You seal it up, you send it to Legacy Box, and they're like, beep, boop, boop. They digitize everything for you in a form that you can use, like, I don't know, MP4, photos, JPEGs, whatever you request, Legacy Box can do it.
And also, I know that it's really scary to send these priceless memories away. I get it because I did it. They give you little barcodes that you can slap on everything that you put in the box. And so every step of the process, they scan that barcode and let you know where your item is and what's being done to it. And then they ship everything back to you. And it's all done in the U.S. Over 700,000 families have trusted Legacy Box with their priceless memories. I trusted them too.
Bethany, I bet that was an amazing moment for you when you got your digital downloads from Legacy Box.
It was amazing.
Could see and hear your grandparents.
Yeah, it was the party that we had, their 50th wedding anniversary party. And like, I forgot truly how awkward I looked. So get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/taste. That's going to get you 40% off your first order.
Save your time and memories. Go to legacybox.com/taste and save 40% off today. I recently took out all of the bras from my underwear and bra drawer that weren't Third Love because why have them in there? I don't wear them.
Third Love bras are amazing because they do bras differently. You don't have to fit into the pre-designated size and shape of, let's say, a 38B.
No, you can be a 36B and a half like me.
Exactly.
A half.
So here's how you do it. Take their Fit Finder quiz. You just answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 15 million women have taken this quiz. So all of their measurements are kind of brought in to help create a bra that truly is going to fit you the best.
And every bra is backed by their perfect fit promise. You have 60 days to wash it, wear it, and if you don't love it, returns are always free.
Their comfort and quality are top notch. It is the most comfortable bra that you will own. The straps don't slip. There's tagless labels, no itching, and they have super lightweight, really thin memory foam cups, so it molds to your shape.
Yeah, when I'm wearing a t-shirt, you can't see where my breast stops and the bra begins.
Yeah.
And that is a true test of quality.
It's an illusion.
Plus, they donate all of their gently used bras to women in need. So, of course, we love that.
Yes. So, Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. Right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/taste right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/taste for 15% off today.
Bethany.
Yeah.
How secure are your passwords?
Publicly? So secure. Don't even try.
So secure.
Don't even try.
When I was in the Spy Museum, I picked up this book, The Hackproof Password System by Brad Zupp.
Now, Zupp?
Brad Zupp, Z-U-P-P. Now, he is a memory improvement expert and also the best-selling author of Unlock Your Amazing Memory.
Okay. My memory sucks.
And I'm interested in this because recently Ring, the Ring doorbell, the Ring products, which I'm obsessed with, I have them myself, they caught a lot of flack for being hacked. Like there's this video that was going around the internet of like a little girl playing in her room and some hacker who hacked her family's Ring system all of a sudden is like, hello little girl, like this is Santa Claus.
What the actual hell? That's horrifying.
And so what actually happened was is that somebody used a password for their Ring system that they used for something else.
Sure.
And something else was hacked. And so the hacker was able to like figure out other accounts that this person was using and was like trying that password with their other accounts. So anyway.
Nightmare. Oh no.
I am shocked by this. They're saying that 12 character passwords are the recommended minimum these days.
And, oh no.
And many websites go up to like 24 characters. Can you,
now I'm counting my
12 characters.
G-I-V-E-M-E-S-E-X-Y. That's 10.
10. We're here to learn together how to remember complicated passwords. People tend to make passwords easily so they can remember them, right?
Of course.
Weak passwords account for approximately 76% of attacks on corporate networks. Like corporate networks still don't have their password game down.
I was reading a really fascinating article from Wired about a bunch of guys who hacked into the U.S. government via a video game company that had partnered with a branch of the government to like create simulators, training simulations. And they hacked into the company and hacked into all their documents and were able to, in that way, hack into the government database.
Oh my God.
The article is called The Young and the Reckless. It's from a few months ago, but it's very interesting. It was from 2018.
Apparently, 40% of IT passwords, including admin passwords, are stored in a document or a spreadsheet on someone's computer.
I mean, think about it. Everyone working in these areas is just like your coworker Barb.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just people, and people need to try to remember their passwords, and so they're not going to make them very hard.
And people think that they're clever when they replace, like, L's with the number one and letter S with the dollar sign.
Yeah.
Hackers know these tricks.
Damn it. I'm not smarter than someone who does this for a living.
Think of the typical way that people remember their passwords. The browser does it for them, right?
Yeah.
But what if you leave your computer unattended or your computer gets stolen?
Yeah.
And some people have software like apps and stuff that do it for you, except password remembering software isn't immune to a hacker's attack.
That's why I don't use it. I've always worried.
Some people write down their passwords. But what if someone breaks into your house and steals your planner with all your passwords?
Fuck.
Right? Some people even, I was reading this online, they tape little pieces of paper to the underside of their carpets with their passwords.
That's a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
That's a bad idea.
People who are looking for your passwords and they're in your home, they're going to look there.
I hate it when the hackers are two steps ahead of me.
Also, sometimes your acquaintances are trying to steal your identity. You cannot have that stuff written down. They're going to find your notebook.
You know what? I think you're at the biggest risk when your cousin gets a new boyfriend.
Mm.
Because you know that new boyfriend is coming to the family event and no one likes him and you haven't vetted him.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't earned his place at the table.
Mm-mm.
And he's going to steal your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jake.
Jake.
Or Jake, or like
Jake the Snake.
Brad.
We usually have bad passwords because we're like, I have no memory, right?
Yeah.
Like, my memory is very terrible. It's awful. Can't remember anything.
Yeah.
I'm here to change your life.
Ooh, the whole tone of the room changed.
I'm here to change your life.
It got real serious.
If you don't come up with a system to remember your passwords, you're fucked.
You're a horse's ass.
You're fucked. And think about getting hacked. Think about your social media accounts getting hacked.
Oh, no.
The hackers get in, then they change the email, so then you can no longer get into your profile.
It sucks.
And basically, all of your online history, gone forever. You're not even a human anymore.
Oh, no. I'm so paranoid right now.
I know.
And they also go and they post, like, super racist stuff, and then you have to, like, say that you've been hacked. Or when you get drunk and post super racist stuff, then you say you got hacked. We all know you didn't.
Here are the three steps to start building a system for you to remember things more easily.
Okay.
Number one, create a picture in your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, connect this picture to another picture.
Like any picture?
Yeah. So I'll explain this later.
Okay.
So one, picture. Two, connect. Three, review. Let's try a simple example of this technique.
Okay.
How do you spell the word broccoli?
B-R-O-C-C-O-L-I.
It's a hard word.
Yeah.
It's a word that a lot of people are like, is there one C? Is there an H? How many L's?
Yeah.
Okay. One, picture.
Picture.
Picture broccoli. That's easy,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine a big yummy bunch of broccoli. It's all green and fresh.
Okay.
Next, you need to, and if you're trying to remember how to spell the word broccoli, you need to think of something with the letter C. Connect. Connect it to a story.
Okay.
So you have your picture, the picture of broccoli.
Broccoli.
Step two, connect it to a story. So what starts with the letter C? Cowboys.
Cowboys.
There are two C's in broccoli. So you're going to tell yourself the story. Two cowboys are roasting broccoli over their campfire. The last step, review. So take a few seconds to hold that picture in your head.
Yes.
The more detail in your mind that you can add to that, like color and size and texture and taste and stuff like that, the more easily you're going to remember that.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because you're really like ingraining it into your brain.
Two cowboys roasting broccoli over their campfire.
Yes. Okay.
You are always going to know how to spell broccoli now. Two C's.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's try it with another word that's hard to spell. Give me a word that you always find that's hard to spell, Bethany.
What's the word I can never... Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
I never remember if it's an ES or just an OS.
Okay. So it's ES at the end. Let's try this technique. A picture.
Okay.
Of a tomato, right?
It's got a smile on its face.
Yeah. Now we want to remember that there is an E at the end.
Okay.
So let's make a story.
So the tomato is sitting on the cement.
Okay.
Just out in a walk, enjoying his life.
Yeah.
He's on his way to a startup. He just got a new job today. Someone comes by in a bad mood.
Okay.
And they're like, I'm going to take it out on this tomato.
Okay.
And they're about to step on it.
Uh-huh.
And the tomato goes, eee! Don't step on me.
There you go.
And so tomatoes have an E on the end.
There you go.
There's no, sorry. There's seven tomatoes. It's a plural.
It's a plural.
Plural,
yeah.
Plural tomatoes. Yeah. Seven. And they all go E. Plural tomatoes has an E on it.
You will always remember now how to spell the word tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Multiple tomatoes. Seven tomatoes on the sidewalk. They don't want to be stepped on. They go E. Before we get started, I just want to say out loud that this technique is easier when you use physical objects in your association.
Okay.
Like apple, car, shoe, and then build upon those objects when you're creating your story, as opposed to non-tangible things like happiness or
an impending sense of ennui.
Exactly.
Okay.
Where did you come from?
Depression.
Oh. Let's do an experiment. Okay. Using this technique that we just learned, the picture, connect, review.
Yeah.
Look at your text messages.
Okay.
I just sent you a text message.
Got it.
It's a list of words, four sets of words.
Okay.
I have my own four sets of words. I want you to remember these words in conjunction with each other. Tennis ball and coffee cup, television and fly, boat and windmill, bird and straw.
Okay.
And I need myself to remember these four sets of words. Rent and decade, dove and bench, sandwich and child, garbage and canoe. We're going to take 1 minute.
Okay.
To go over these words, come up with stories for each sets of words.
Yeah.
And then we're going to quiz each other at the end of the podcast to see if we remember.
Okay. I'm going to set a timer for
1 minute.
1 minute. I literally was just like, how many seconds in a minute? Okay. Ready? Go. That's 60.
Okay.
All right.
I think
Kathleen.
I did it. I can't wait to see if we can remember it using this technique at the end of the podcast.
Okay. Oh, it's not until the end of the podcast?
It's not until the end of the podcast.
Oh, crap. That's harder.
Or at least the end of this segment. Back to passwords.
Back to passwords.
The first method we're going to go over, the word chain method.
Okay.
Okay. The author writes, a few years ago, we bought a new carpet for our home.
Fun.
To track the status of our order, we had to create an account on this website of the carpet vendor, which was a big box home improvement store. Great, I thought, rolling my eyes when I sat at my computer, another password to remember. How am I ever going to remember a login to this site after our carpet purchase is complete?
This dude seems to have the wrong attitude for someone who literally is an expert in this. If he is having a hard time, we're all screwed.
This was before he was an expert.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he goes, and I want to make sure that I remember this password, and it's a hard one because our credit card information is stored on this site. This is how he remembered his password.
Okay.
Using the three keys. Picture, connect, review.
Yeah.
He said, first I pictured the store. The store is his anchor.
Okay.
What did he last buy at this store? Carpet.
Carpet.
Right? He writes, whenever I went back to this website, I'd always think of that carpet. So let's start there. The carpet was beige.
Okay.
You know, okay.
Ew.
Is it soft? It had little flecks of color in it to hide dirt when we vacuumed.
This guy sounds very boring.
He says, so my password is carpet, soft, beige, flex.
Oh.
Do you see how he did that?
Yeah.
He pictured the store. He pictured what he purchased. He pictured the color of the item. And so coming up with passwords like this, where there is a story behind why you're at that website again.
Yes.
Or why you made the account in the first place, it gives you some context that's not like, my dog is cool.
69. That makes sense. You have to still remember the chain of thought as far as like carpet, beige, soft, flex or whatever. But if it is all meaningful and if you think about it in terms of like, what is it down to the minutiae, sort of like, what is it? What color is it? What fabric? What texture? What fabric? Like big to small.
Exactly.
Like universe, solar system, you know, Earth.
Yeah.
U.S.
It makes it like it gives you context.
Okay, cool.
So that is why this method is called the word chain method.
The word chain method.
The word chain method. So Bethany, if you needed to make a password to get into this room,
yeah,
let's start there.
Yeah.
So pick your anchor.
My anchor is Audio Boom.
Okay.
Because that's where we are.
Yeah.
We come in here to podcast.
Yes.
We sit down at a microphone.
Uh huh.
And
what's the color of the logo?
It's blue.
What are the color of the walls?
White.
How many microphones?
Four.
Okay.
So blue four. Blue 4, 69, 69.
No, Bethany, you need to be.
Four, okay.
Like connect four words.
Blue, I would say podcast, blue, 4, sit. Because that's the order.
There you go.
Right? Okay.
There you go.
That's good. That's a password. No one's going to guess that.
No one's going to guess that. Yeah. So the process, you see how it works.
Yes, totally.
We're not exactly creating a series of images and trying to remember them. The system is more about imagining the first item. That's your anchor, which is naturally the catalyst or trigger for the next time or the next item. And it will remind you of so on and so on and so on.
Like it just brings you down an easy chain of thought.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So let's say I have to make an account on my grocery store website. I'm going to get even a little bit more specific.
Okay.
My favorite person to go grocery shopping with is my mom.
Okay.
Okay. And I love going to Whole Foods to look at their exotic fruits like kumquats.
Oh, delicious.
And I also like to get a latte.
Uh-huh.
And I like using the bathroom.
Okay.
At Whole Foods. It's a nice bathroom.
It is a nice bathroom.
Okay.
Do they have a squatty potty?
They don't have a squatty potty, but it's like always really clean.
Yeah.
Okay. And not a lot of people use it because using the bathroom at the grocery store is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I'm usually alone and I have pooed in the, I, yes, I, okay. So.
Do you want to keep going on
it's
that?
The coffee. Okay, it's the coffee. You know, it's like.
Okay. It goes right through.
So
you.
For my grocery store website.
Yeah.
Mom.
Uh-huh.
Kumquat. Latte. Poo.
I mean, it makes total sense.
Right?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Like, I'll never forget that. Because mm-hmm. now I go to, like, WholeFoods.com, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember my story.
Mom.
I'm shopping with my mom. I'm looking at the kumquats, and I have a latte, and then I have to poo.
Yeah. So, like, if I were to go to, like, a sexy clothing website,
yeah,
my password would probably be, like, like, excitement. Realization, shame.
No.
Shame.
No.
That,
no.
But that is my thought process.
Bethany.
And that's going to take me.
I just called you Bethany.
It's okay. That's what I will remember.
No, you need to use physical objects.
Oh, crap.
You need to use physical objects and you need to be as creative as possible.
Fine.
It cannot be just like feelings. It can't be shame, 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 shame on you.
I will remember shame because I know it well.
The next method that you can use to create stellar passwords.
Yeah.
Is called the phrase chain method.
I think I've heard of this one before.
For many people, a phrase comes to mind more easily than a series of words.
Yeah.
I think I prefer the word chain method, but if you're one of these people who likes phrases, the phrase chain method may be your bread and butter of the password world.
Is this the example of like remembering the planets in order, like my very educated mother
exactly.
thing? Okay.
Yeah. And some security experts do advocate that using the phrase chain method for password creation makes it more difficult to hack than merely choosing three or four memorable words
okay.
together.
All right.
And there are websites that you can type your password into if you hit the Googs and you're like, how strong is my password? They'll tell you this password is hackable in like 143 billion years.
Jeez.
So you want to make something that's really strong. An example that this book uses, Brad Zepp, if you are on a travel website.
Okay.
And a phrase that reminds you of travel is, and miles to go before I sleep.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Robert Frost poem.
Yeah.
If you put all of those characters together, that's 24 characters. It's a lot of characters.
True. Yeah, it's a good point.
So converting the phrase to AMTGBIS, get it? And
just
miles
the first letter
to go
of each. Yeah.
Before I sleep. This technique is really helpful when a website that you're making a password on requires like a small amount of characters. You know?
Totally,
like
yeah.
Sometimes they're like max of 10 characters or something. All right, so let's try that with, let's say Bethany, let's say you're making a password for your bank.
Okay.
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 So what's a phrase that has to do with money?
Bitch better have my money.
Okay. So let me write, I'm going to write this down. Bitch better, B-E-T-T-A.
Of course.
Have my money.
Yeah.
So B-B-H-M. M.
Yeah.
So you could change it to B H 2 M.
Oh.
Get it?
Oh.
Bitch better have my money. BBHMM.
That's good.
That's
Or I could be like BBH and the dollar sign if they require special characters.
Yeah. $2 signs.
$2 signs.
And every time you go to log into your bank, you're going to say to yourself, bitch better have my money.
Right on. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Like, this is not a technique that I use in my everyday life.
I know one person who does this, and I tried it once and it didn't work for me, but that's because I didn't connect it to anything that meant a lot.
Yeah.
So this makes sense.
So you could take that even a step further. So let's go back to the phrase, and miles to go before I sleep.
Okay.
Ampersand. And.
Yeah.
Then miles. So M. Then it's T for two. So
right.
You could change that to the number two. And then G for go.
Right.
And then you have before, but you can change that to the letter B and four. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's say every time you make a password, you decide that your personal system with the letter I, you're going to replace that with an exclamation point.
Okay.
So then an exclamation point. And then if you want it to be really secure, on top of that, add the word chain method after.
Oh, geez. Here's the only thing is how do you remember that those are the little tricks that you used?
Because
like, how do you remember that you were like, I'm going to go, instead of writing sleep, I'm going to put ZZZ. Like, how do you remember that you did that?
You use the same technique every single time you make a password.
Okay, gotcha.
Every
so
single time.
You always use an exclamation point for I.
Yes.
You always. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you're that's like, more, it's, okay. It's like your own little personal decoder system.
Yeah. Because I can totally, because what I did last time is I got too clever for myself and then I couldn't remember how I had been clever. And so when I finally got the reset password and I saw what my old password had been, I was like, oh, that was really clever, but there's no way I would have remembered it.
There's no way.
Yeah. So really the whole crux of this is making up a system of replacement that you always use and remember.
Yeah.
That's, I think, more important is what I'm taking away than whichever memorization technique you use, knowing what your replacement system is.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Coming up with a technique that works for you. And that you don't have to write it down, because the whole point of this is that it's in your memory. Nobody can hack your mind.
And, you know, that's true. And it's worth doing because you always can reset your password. Like if you get yourself in such a corner that you cannot remember it, you can reset your password. But it's worth doing it because you'll hopefully actually remember it.
Whenever I can, I try to use the two access points, you know, like where they have to text you the password.
But I heard that there's a flaw in that too, because we give our phone numbers out willy-nilly to people all the time.
Yeah.
And people can easily, or they used to be able to go in and like just ask to replace your SIM card for the quote unquote their phone number. And then suddenly they were receiving texts from your phone number. And so they would be the dual authentication as well. Now, that's sort of a summary of a podcast I heard once, so that might be absolutely false.
I hope it's not true anymore.
But I have heard that two-factor authentication isn't always as secure as we like to think it is.
God damn it, Bethany.
Who has your phone number? Well, everyone.
This is why these password methods are so important.
It's true.
Also, something else that's mentioned in the book that I didn't get a chance to talk about, capitalizing like the first letter of every big word or second letter, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's more applicable if you're using the word chain method because you're using full words. But that's also another, you know, another facet to your system.
Because they often require both.
Yes.
Everything. They need so much.
Uh-huh.
They're so needy.
All right. Shall we go back and see if we can remember the words?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to...
Give me your phone so I can see what your words are. Kathleen, what are the four pairs of words you had to remember?
Okay. So, rent and decade.
Yes.
In which I imagined myself renting my apartment and my landlord coming in with a certificate of thank you for renting this apartment for a decade.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. And then one was a dove and a bench.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And which I remembered lots of doves having lunch on a bench, but other birds were welcomed too. And one was children and sandwich.
Sandwich and child.
Okay. Yep. And I remembered children opening up a sandwich shop and just serving up sprinkles in the middle of buttered bread.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the last one was canoe and garage, in which I, or garbage.
Garbage,
In which I remembered a big dumpster filled with canoes. And then people were like, free canoes in this garbage.
It's very good. You did really well.
All right, Bethany, I'm pulling up the text message that I sent to you with your words.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay, so the first word was it was either tennis or tennis ball.
Okay.
And that partnered with coffee cup or cup.
Okay.
And now I see the problem in my memory.
Yeah.
I pictured someone playing tennis and the ball landing in a coffee cup.
Yep, you're correct. Tennis ball and coffee cup.
Great. The next one was TV and fly.
Okay.
Because I pictured myself coming home from playing tennis to sit down and watch TV, and I was so delighted that Jeff Goldblum's The Fly was on TV. And, oh, by the way, I'm on vacation, this whole story.
Okay.
So then the next day, we're touring, and we get in a boat, and we go under a windmill.
Correct.
And then I don't think I remember the last words because I absolutely ran out of time. I don't remember the last words.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
What were the last words?
Bird and straw.
Oh, because I pictured, because then I pictured a bird inside the windmill building a nest, but like I didn't have time to really internalize that one.
Do you think you could have remembered these things if you just tried to remember the words paired up with each other?
Never.
No
unless
way.
I had like chanted it over and over and over for a long time.
There's no way.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes so much easier.
You know what? I think that this is kind of like a life-changing technique for me.
Yeah.
Now all we need to do is practice witnessing crimes happening and then memorizing license plates.
We're so good at solving crimes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've said it before. I think that everyone should be forced to go to therapy. Whether you have like mental illness or not, I think therapy truly changes your life. But not everyone has access to it or can afford it.
Yeah.
And that is why we love Talkspace.
Sometimes finding a therapist is really daunting, and sometimes they don't even take insurance. Talkspace online therapy is the most convenient and affordable way to make lasting changes in your life with the support of a licensed therapist.
So you can send your licensed therapist texts, audio, picture, video messages from your phone or computer whenever you need to. Even if it's on the way to work or you're traveling or you've trapped yourself in the bathroom because your family sucks and you're like, help. Everything happens with Talkspace's secure platform, all on your schedule.
Therapy has changed my life.
Talkspace will match you with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences. They have thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties. So if there's something really specific that you want to work on, they will find someone right for you.
And once you're matched, you can begin therapy the very same day.
And it's not just about analyzing your dreams or like figuring out why your mom screwed up. It can also be working on coping skills or dealing with stress or getting the accountability you need to move forward in your life.
Accountability is one of the things that I work on in therapy.
Yay!
The bottom line is that life can be hard, and Talkspace wants to give more of us the support that we need at a price that we can afford.
So because you listen to this podcast, you're awesome. You can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. So to match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app.
Make sure to use the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com and then use the code TASTE.
Bethany, do you have any weddings to go to this year?
No.
I don't think I do.
No one in love loves me, I think.
I missed three weddings last year.
Why?
I declined to go to three weddings.
It's a lot of weddings.
You know what? It's just like I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah. And sometimes if you have to like, if it's going to be a big investment of your time or money.
Yeah.
You can't.
Sometimes.
It's just they're expensive.
Sometimes you just don't want to go.
Yeah.
So Cosmo has this article. I'm asking you this because Cosmo has an article out today. 12 things that you should never wear to a wedding.
Oh, I love this.
Don't wear white.
But in the words of Kelly Kapoor, it was an emergency. I look amazing in white.
I look amazing in white. I do look amazing in white.
You do look amazing in white.
You look good in white, too.
I know, but you're not supposed to because it takes attention away from the bride.
I know. I know. All right. Would never. I've worn a dress with white in it.
I think that's fine.
I think if the dress is mostly another color with white details, I think you're okay.
Yeah. If it's white with other color details, you're not okay.
Can you imagine? I wonder if it's ever happened. A bride walking up to someone at their wedding and being like, get out.
I'm sure it has.
You know, my Syrian friends, it's pretty customary for the bride to wear white and then also for like the mother of the bride to wear white.
Yeah.
And sometimes the bridesmaids wear white.
I mean, look, if it's a thing, then it's a thing.
It's different in every culture.
You know.
Leave your sweats at home.
Yes. Who is wearing sweats to a wedding? Please try harder, friends. again, unless it is a sweat-themed wedding, what are you thinking of?
I have never been to a wedding where someone was wearing sweats.
I'm sure someone's grubby boyfriend wore sweats.
But I have a friend who recently went to a wedding. I don't even want to say where it was because I don't want to cast any judgments. But she said that, like, people showed up like they just rolled out of bed.
I would kick people out of my wedding.
It was very casual. It was like a casual in like an Elks Lodge type situation.
I don't care. It's a wedding.
But she couldn't believe that this was an okay situation.
I would ask people to leave. I absolutely would in that case. It's so disrespectful.
Cosmo says you should not wear denim to a wedding.
Again, unless it is a Britney and Justin themed wedding, do not wear denim to that wedding.
I went to a wedding where someone showed up in denim with boots and a sweater.
What weddings are you going to?
It's just disrespectful.
It's totally yes.
Unless grandma or grandpa, the only thing that they're comfortable in is denim because in their old age, everything else feels scratchy. It's not okay.
It's not an excuse because denim is not comfortable.
And I'm not one to cast judgment like this on what people are wearing because I tend to always wear the wrong thing / be overdressed. But
I think you are always appropriately dressed, Kathleen, and I would rather always be overdressed than underdressed.
See, this next one I don't agree with. Number 4, say goodbye to shorts. Because if it's a beach wedding,
I think that there are situations where shorts are appropriate. Sometimes you can get a very dressy, cute, high-waisted short, like with heels and an appropriate shirt or like a blazer or whatever. But overall, I think err on the side of not wearing shorts.
My best friend, I love her husband so much. He's one of these guys that runs hot.
Yes, same. Right? Yep.
So he wears shorts in the dead of winter.
Yeah, I understand that.
He got married in pants. He bought 2 pairs of the pants that he got married in. He had a tailor make 1 into shorts.
That's amazing.
And then he got married in the pants and then for the reception changed into the shorts. So I don't think that the shorts, and you know, there's so many fancy shorts for women out there these days.
It's a gray area.
Cover your shoulders when applicable, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I guess, sure.
I mean, yeah. If it's a very religious ceremony, cover your shoulders, okay? Don't go too casual with the pants.
I
love the idea of women not always having to wear dresses and wearing like rompers or whatever.
Totally.
Just not too cash.
Again, I think it just goes back to like no sweatpants or jeans.
Don't go against the dress code.
Yes, it's not your wedding. It's someone else's wedding, so don't try to make your own rules.
I feel like this is maybe a little bit of a gray area because what is black tie really?
Black, it means wear a black tie, and it means dress the hell up.
Do you really have to wear a black tie to a black tie?
I think you do.
You can't wear a different color tie?
I think it's a black tie.
Oh, I never put that together.
Black tie.
Black now, tie. Would you wear a short dress to black tie?
No.
It'd have to be a ball gown?
It would have to be a long gown or
a very fancy short dress.
A very fancy suit. Mm. Like, I went to a black tie event and I wore a Diane von Furstenberg suit.
Yeah.
And got a lot of compliments on it.
Ooh.
But that was a risky choice.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
You know, I would say short tends to be seen as more casual.
I can't believe this next one even needs to be said. Ripped holes, even intentional ones, do not belong.
Yes, correct.
What are you going to wear that's a ripped hole?
Jeans.
Now, number 9, rethink the sparkles. So no sequins to a wedding.
I can see that because, again, you want the bride and groom to be the focus.
Yeah. Cosmo writes, of course you want to be the best dressed guest. Sometimes that means a glittery option, but if you're worried about the bride's reaction, just skip the glitz.
I think if it is black tie, I think you can feel comfortable wearing glitz.
Mm.
But I think if it is just dress nice, keep the glitz at home.
Number 10, be aware of your neckline. I guess it depends where the wedding is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting married in Atlantic City, you're probably fine with whatever neckline.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if it is a black tie affair, I would keep the twins fully in, because it's probably a more conservative vibe.
You don't want a nip slip at a black tie.
Right.
Unless you have a black tie to cover your nip.
Exactly. And that's why the black tie is there.
Number 11. I'm very passionate about this.
Okay.
Leave your flip-flops at home.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I hate flip-flops.
If you are going to wear a shoe to an event, commit to that shoe. If you cannot walk in that shoe, do not wear that shoe. And I know that people love their table of flip-flops at weddings, so everyone can take off their shoes and put on a flip-flop, but I'm very, very passionate about that. Kathleen, back me up.
Flip-flops are not my favorite type of shoe. And it annoys me very much, too, when people wear flip-flops to a professional workplace.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you're at the beach, yes, that's one thing. And I do think it's kind of cute when people have beach weddings and there's, like, a bucket of flip-flops.
That's different because you're at a beach.
It's different because you're at a beach. I will say this. I have gone to weddings where if I'm wearing a very high heel for most of the wedding and I know that my feet are going to hurt eventually, I have a fancy, flat, appropriate, dressy sandal in my clutch, like sandals. In my clutch, and then I will change into those
fully.
But I know people who bring, I've seen people bring slippers to weddings and they like keep them underneath the table.
Yeah.
Or their flip flops underneath the table.
Look,
if this isn't a formal reception hall, you probably, like, you know, when the cake is cut, you probably shouldn't change into your flip flops.
Yeah. I understand. You know, sometimes your feet really are hurting. I get it. Kathleen, I like that you plan ahead and you bring another appropriate shoe.
Yeah.
I understand. Sometimes you got to like slip them off under the table and let your feet rest a second.
Yeah.
Fine. You do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But walking out with your dirty feet in a flip-flop at a formal wedding to me is so gross.
Yeah.
I just get upset.
I hear you. I've had interns show up for interviews wearing flip-flops. And I'm like, come on.
You really never be worried that you're overdressed. It really is so impressive when someone takes the time to pull together an outfit to try and present themselves in the best way possible. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It really doesn't. Kathleen and I shop mostly at secondhand stores.
Yeah.
Just show that you have a little respect for yourself. And look, we're going to get a lot of emails about the flip-flops bucket.
Yeah.
It's just something I just really do not like.
Everybody has that one thing they're passionate about.
Totally.
Speaking of secondhand stores, do you know how men's shirts button on the other side?
Yeah.
Like when I'm borrowing my husband's shirts, it always like throws me off that I have to button the buttons on the other side.
Yeah.
Do men's jeans button on the other side?
I don't think so. The shirts is just because women used to have dressers to dress us. And so that's why the shirt, the buttons are reversed.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Now, I'm asking you because, and I'm going to stand up, I think I bought fake jeans secondhand.
Okay.
From like a website where you buy from the individual.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they are, they're supposed to be designer. They're 3X1. Have you ever heard of 3X1? It's like it's like a higher end jean, whatever.
Okay.
So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to show you. I think that they're fake because the button is on the wrong side. The button is on my left side and the hole is on the right side.
Oh.
And it's totally, I'm looking at you undoing your button right now and yours is the opposite of mine.
What? Maybe men's jeans do button on the other side.
Did I accidentally buy men's stretchy cropped ankle fringe, on the ankle jeans?
Maybe.
Either that or they're totally fake. They're not 3X1. They were made in a factory and the factory wasn't paying that close attention to detail.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
And they're like my favorite pair of jeans. And every time I put them on, I'm like, these jeans are definitely fake.
Do men's jeans button on the left? I don't know.
I only see stuff. Google's only showing me stuff about shirts.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
Gentle listener, if you've ever had this issue.
That's how you know.
The hole is on the right and the button is on the left on my pants. And it's usually the other way around.
It's very off-putting.
Just all fake jeans. They're so comfortable, though.
Well, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you're applying for a job, the best time to send your resume is between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Oh, why is that?
It's because you want to land first thing in their inbox in the morning.
They're probably like in a good mental space,
too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Applying to a job is hard enough. Give yourself a leg up.
Yeah.
Does Google let you schedule emails yet?
I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not good at that stuff.
Mm. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
In that vein, actually, I learned that I'm the most productive between 6 and 10. It's funny that you bring that up. So I'm tending to have a lot of things happen at that point. That's when I have my groceries delivered, because I'm not as overwhelmed by the idea of running downstairs and meeting someone before they leave.
So weird. That's just so weird to get your groceries delivered at 6 a.m.
I know, but it's what I do. But it's usually around 8. Yeah. And, you know, that's when I get, like, my emails answered. That's when I get everything. And so I'm just waking myself up now earlier in the morning because that is when I am the most productive. I'm just going to go with it instead of trying to fight it or berate myself for not being productive at 3 p.m.
Wakey, wakey, answer e-makey.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Ready You Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram.
Wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it be on Apple Podcasts or TuneIn or Google Play or Spotify, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. It helps us get the word out there and helps us move up in the ranks.
Totally. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Extra deep this week.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
Our legs are working.
They are.
Our mouths can smile.
We have a place to live.
Our eyes can see.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, check out the fan group. There's a lot of information about meetups in there.
Cool.
So let's meet other buds and make actual buds.
Yes. Get that talking and looking in the eye situation going on. You can also send us snail mail. Do you remember the name of the woman who sent us those beautiful earrings?
Yes, we owe a big thank you to Kelly from Cleveland. She makes her own earrings and she sent us some for Galentine's Day.
Thank you. And shout out to Cleveland. They have a great orchestra.
They do.
You can send mail an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every podcast every week. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Did we give our email? An Acquired Taste Podcast at gmail.com.
No, we didn't. Do you want to give it?
An Acquired Taste Podcast at gmail.com. Taste buds. Yo, Anthony. That's what that sounded like. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Vanessa from Wisconsin. So I know a couple episodes ago, Bethany mentioned Florence Pugh and how she is an amazing actress. Well, my boyfriend and I watched Midsommar last weekend, and we're still confused by that movie. But the acting was wonderful. And then I watched Fighting with My Family, which stars Florence Pugh as well, tonight, and holy mother of shit, that movie is good. Any taste buds listening right now, or Bethany and Kathleen, please watch Fighting with My Family. It's on Hulu and it's on Amazon Prime. So I just want to say thank you, Bethany, for introducing me to Florence Pugh, because holy mother of shit. She's the same age as me, and I'm just like, I should be doing this shit, but I'm a doctor's assistant, so, and I live in Wisconsin, so.
Hi, amazing ladies. This is Taste Bud Lexi from Pennsylvania, and I'm listening to you guys talk about what movies you haven't seen, or that everyone has that movie that's super famous that you've never seen, and I just recently watched all the Matrix movies. I didn't even know that there was more than one. I didn't actually enjoy them that much, unfortunately.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Megan. I'm calling because I was listening to your recent podcast about the vegan food, and I had to pause it when you were like, when people say, ew, vegan food, because I've been trying to eat more plant-based lately, and so someone will see me eating one day, like, vegan, and I'll tell them about it, and then the next day they'll see me eating, like, you know, a chicken finger, like she says, or, like, a pepperoni pizza, and they'll be like, oh, I thought you were eating vegan, and it just drives me crazy. Like, people need to mind their own business, judge less, be more open-minded, and see that I'm trying to, like, actually, like, change, and, like, it's not like something that can happen overnight. And that was just my cat meowing in my speaker.
Hello, ladies. I was just listening to your most recent episode about infrasounds. This is Carolyn from New Jersey. When I had my dog in the car, he was on his way to a play date. He's always very excited. And today he's crying. He's freaking out. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? Like, can you please chill out? I think the infrasound might have made my dog a little upset. So I had to turn off the episode. I'm going to be playing it back when he's not in the car later on. But I just thought it was a little funny and I thought I should share.
Hi, Chase Buds, Kathleen and Bethany. I've never called this before. I just am sitting in my car about to go grocery shopping and figured that the podcast that always cheers me up no matter what state of mind I'm in should know that I did just lose my job today. Company layoff. Bullshit.
but I know that I'll get through this, and I know I have the Taste Bud community to get through this, but I wanted to tell you guys, the first thing I did was say, you know, I'm going to listen to the podcast to cheer me up. You guys always seem to know what to say. I'm not sure how you do that, but you do, and I'm forever grateful and forever thankful that I have you guys. Yeah, I'm doing okay, but I love all of you Taste Buds and Kathleen and Bethany. I've been a longtime listener, and this is the first-time caller, and that's about it. I hope everyone else is having a better day than I am.